And welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. I'm so excited that you are joining us here today and tuning into this episode. If you like this podcast, I just want to remind you to leave a review. So leaving a review helps us because it gives us feedback, and I'd love it if you could tell us if you like the podcast. If you don't, feel free to leave that review. And if you do like this podcast and you want to support us, then please share it with a friend or a family member. I will let you proceed with the episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. I'm so excited to be joined here by Neil Modi. Do you mind introducing yourself? Tell us about what you do and how you got started.
Hi, AKA Girl. Happy to be here on your podcast. My name is Neil Modi. I am a passionate amateur musician, songwriter, producer, all things music, also a blogger, photographer, creative writer to a certain extent, and just enjoy all things creative. I'm based out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I've been here all my life and just enjoy collaborating with others. I also play drums and co-songwrite in a little indie rock band called Bay Shelter, based out of here in Toronto and Mississauga. And I also co-host and co-produce a songwriting podcast called Song Talk Radio. So all of those things and probably a couple I missed.
No, I love that. It's so funny when I speak to creatives and you see how many creative endeavors they've actually delved into. It's writing, it's music, it's photography, and I love that you are a creative as well. You do everything. I want to focus on your music, so I just want to know how you got into music. How long have you been writing songs for, collaborating with other musicians?
My journey started way back when I was in middle school, and I can't really say how I decided to do this, but the opportunity came up in grade 7 class. They were like, who wants to try out for band? Okay, that sounds like fun. And I tried out for band, immediately had a bit of a talent for percussion. So ended up playing drums a couple years in middle school band. Then when I entered grade 9, I actually moved neighborhoods. And in my new neighborhood, all my music student colleagues all had pianos at home, and they had all taken conservatory training. And I was like, oh boy, I better learn how to play the piano. So I convinced my parents to buy me a little starter keyboard, and then started hanging out with some of my classmates who had pianos. And I had a good friend down the street who was, his dad was actually a jazz drummer. So we were able to jam together. He would play the keys and I would play the drums. And actually that was my first band, just the two of us. At the same time, I would get him to show me a few things on his dad's jazz organ. And it was interesting to me. Almost very soon after I started playing the keyboards, I started composing on the keyboard. I started just coming up with my own melodies and stuff. The interesting thing for me too was that even before I started playing the drums, I learned about music theory in public school. Probably grade 5, grade 6 or something. They just had a couple of classes where they showed us how to read a musical staff and what all the notes were and the scales and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, it just stuck in my brain and just seemed natural to me and very intuitive. And oh yeah, this makes total sense to me, more so than any other subject. I remember even being in percussion in grade 7, and the trumpet players in front of me couldn't read the music that was in front of them. And I was like, that's an F. Come on, that's an F. Sharp, come on, you can do it. Just peering over their shoulders. And even then I was very lucky, in fact, that I had a great community in high school that I was able to engage in lots of different things, from like concert band to stage band to drumming for the jazz choir. And I was in a little four-piece band later on in high school. I played the drums, didn't really songwrite in there, but at that point I was doing more like composing on the keyboard. And at the time we had an Amiga 2000 at home. And I got myself a little MIDI interface so I could compose and actually arrange like multi-track compositions on my computer just using MIDI sounds. So I did a lot of electronic, orchestral, even that sort of thing. And I just kept at that, writing instrumental music for many years. We had a wonderful head of the music department in high school who really went out of her way to encourage me and listen to my stuff and give me feedback. And more than anything else, just encourage me to keep on going and to, keep on writing. And so that was a really wonderful, she's to this day my greatest musical hero, because she really put me on that foot and encouraged me to think outside the box and do all things creative. And I continued that for a long time. And then into my adulthood, I just happened to strike up a friendship with a singer. And I thought to myself, how about if I switch from composing instrumental pieces and start composing songs with lyrics. And then my friend, I could have her sing on them. And did a couple of those. And starting out songwriting, of course, as any songwriter who's been doing it for a while knows, when you start out, your songs are not that great. They were the melodies were clunky. They were pretty unsingable. And they were very music focused. Like I was writing elaborate piano parts that would take away from the vocalist's melody and stuff like that. So it was a bit of a learning curve. But one of the greatest things that happened around 2010 at this point was that I joined a meetup group on meetup.com for songwriters. And then this was a group basically that you brought a song, either a recording or you play it live in front of the group. And everyone in the group just provides open feedback to you and tells you what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it, how they would try to make it better. Maybe your chorus wasn't so catchy as it could be. Maybe this lyric isn't really communicating what you want to communicate. And it was a really amazing experience, right? To be around similarly minded creatives and engaged in that environment. A couple of years into that, you're learning about other songwriters and about their process and trying to borrow ideas from them and really try to improve your own thing. Eventually, myself and a couple of others who were regulars at the meetup ended up hosting and owning the meetup ourselves because the original host had moved away to a different city and wasn't able to attend the meetups anymore. So he asked us to take over as hosts. And so we started rotating hosts. And then what ended up happening after that is that somebody, we weren't even sure who the person was, but we had someone contact us through the original manager of the meetup that they heard about the radio station. At the time, it was Ryerson University. Now it's Toronto Metropolitan University, that they were resurrecting their radio station, which was there many years ago. It was dead for a long time. And then they were looking for programming. And this person was also alumni of Ryerson and as well was a member of our meetup and thought, hey, this meetup is really cool. It might make an interesting radio program. And so they reached out to us and said, hey, would you guys like to meet with the radio station folks and see if you can develop a program? We're like, yeah, sure. And so the podcast, Song Talk Radio, was born out of that. And that's been going on. We just had our 10-year anniversary of the podcast this past winter. And yeah, so it's been a great learning curve. I consider myself now more songwriter than anything else. I'm more interested in songwriting. And I think there's an enormous amount of growth that you can have there. And I've really evolved in certain ways. I've become maybe less adventurous than when I was writing instrumental music. But at the same time, there's a lot more nuance and a lot more subtlety and a lot more
trial and error.
Yeah, trial and error, but there's come to appreciate simple and poppy music more recently because you try to write a pop banger song, it's not as easy as you think. Because pop music is often dismissed as vapid and shallow, but it's not the case.
Mainstream, yeah. Every musician that I've talked to who's either in jazz or they're in metal to say, oh, you're doing that mainstream crap. But when you go and you actually analyze it, there's so much psychology that goes into it because it's so easy nowadays to skip to the next song and you have to make sure that the 3 seconds catch the listener's attention and then you've got to go on this gradual climb. You've got to keep their interest. You've got to have a good melody. You've got to have catchy lyrics that resonate with people. So.
And I'll be the first to admit I'm nowhere near that level. But at the same time, I also don't necessarily, I'm not the type of person who's going to be like, I'm going to chase the algorithm, right? Yeah. If I want to have a 90-second instrumental intro to my song, I'll have a 90-second instrumental to my song. If that's what I'm feeling and that's what I want, it's got to satisfy me first. It's just that my sensibilities have become a little more pop. And then I've even had other songwriters, like my co-host Phil on the podcast, last few songs I've written, he's been like, that's like the best hook you've ever written. It was really hooky. It's really catchy and strong. And it doesn't necessarily, the other thing that I've realized over the last 15 years or so, because being engaged in the podcast and most of the guests we have on the podcast are up and coming. They have careers as songwriters or songwriters or they're performers, songwriters and performers as a side gig or something like that. They're not super popular, right? Yes. Although some of them have been like on CBC Radio, we have some fairly high profile guests from time to time. The point for me is that I'm a fan of a lot of these people that come through our podcast, right? So I've developed a taste for independent music and I care not for pop radio, right? Even though I'm writing more poppy. And I'm listening to more poppy and more folky stuff than I used to be. I'm still a rock guy at heart. My sensibilities have evolved that way. But it just made me realize that there's an enormous sort of middle ground of artists that are out there. They're super talented. And the amazing thing is I don't have to necessarily fight Ticketmaster to go see a legacy act that I grew up with at a great big arena and have to pay enormous amounts of money for a ticket. I can pay 15, 20 bucks and go to a local show for a songwriter that I'm a fan of. And I know them personally and I can shake their hand afterwards and I can be right in front. And that to me is much more rewarding and fulfilling experience.
You know? Yes. And it also just shines the spotlight on independent artists or artists who might not have as much attention as the mainstream artists that you hear, the Ed Sheerans, the Taylor Swifts, the Beyoncés. And it's amazing to support even a local community. So I love how you have this podcast where you're just saying, you know what, it doesn't have to be mainstream pop. It just has to be music that I resonate with and talented artists, and then encourage those artists continue writing songs, continue doing music, because they might not be getting as much support. And even nowadays, like streaming, you barely make any money from the streams you get on Spotify. So it's just finding other ways to support independent artists.
Yeah. And it's also the recognition too, that there is this middle ground. Like you have to be a superstar or you don't do it at all. There's a way to do it and keep yourself happy that it still makes you a modicum of money. And a lot of these artists, the people who don't do it as a side thing are also teachers, tutors. Mm-hmm. They write songs for film and television. So they have sync licensing deals and they're pursuing grants factor here in Canada and everything. Like there's a whole modicum of things that they do in order to support themselves. But they're entrepreneurial and they're go-getters and they do their thing. And you're right, the smallest income they get is, yeah, streams on Spotify, probably teaching the thing them the most bang for your buck, right?
So I want to ask you, you were talking about songwriting and just improving your craft there. What have you done that might make your songs better, that would improve certain areas? Maybe it's writing a good verse, maybe it's writing a good chorus. Do you have any insights that you can share with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. Melody is king. That's one thing I've come to realize and appreciate, and which I didn't before, because in some ways I had a backwards backdoor entrance into songwriting. I started by playing the piano and playing little pop songs, and I even played Bach and Mozart and Chopin and stuff like that on the piano. And so my entrance into songwriting was through the piano. So I would write interesting chord patterns or unusual quirky things on the mm-hmm. piano, and then try and throw some lyrics on top of it. And to be honest, what changed my mind was actually a free course on Coursera.org called Songwriting, which is taught by Pat Pattison. Pat Pattison, if your listeners don't know, is a songwriting guru who's been long regarded as a very talented teacher. He teaches at Berkeley online and yes. probably in person too. And he's got books, he's got a YouTube channel, he's got a whole bunch of things he does. And he did this sort of video course that was free that is a preview of what you get if you went into the full course on mm-hmm. Coursera. And doing that course, it was like 6 or 7 weeks, a couple hours a week. You write a song and get evaluated by your peers and that sort of thing. It really turned my brain around in terms of, instead of obsessing over this cool chord pattern, this quirky little musical bit or whatever, to think about the whole song as a single entity. What's the focus of this song and what's the hook of this song and how can the music and the lyric work together so that they're doing the same vibe or they're in contrast? But whatever you're doing, whether it's one way or the other, you're doing it with intention. So it still stands out as a strong artistic gesture, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, that's really the thing now, is that I gravitate towards starting with a bit of a lyric, a bit of a melody. And then, so my musical approach tends to be a little bit simpler because I'm focused more on lyric first, about telling a compelling story. But because I have that background in music, my brain by default always goes to music. So I struggle through a lyric, but if I can muscle through a lyric at the beginning of a song and write some of it, most of it, and I know I'm going to go back and change maybe everything but the hook. Mm-hmm. And then I can write the music fairly quickly, mm-hmm. right? So my biggest advice is do the hard part first. For me, that's the lyric, because there's no one way to write a
song. Different every time.
Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. I can write a zillion little ditties on the piano and come up with all sorts of musical licks, but to me, it's not a song until it's got a lyric and a melody on top of it. So, because that's the hardest part for me, I write that first, at least in part, and then I can do the easy stuff afterwards. It gets me to the destination faster.
It's interesting to hear your process because I'm someone who started out as a vocalist, so it's a singer. Originally, I think about the lyrics, I think about the melody, and then it's the instrumental and the entire production aspect of it that is secondary to me. So a lot of the times I seek out other music producers, other musicians to help me with the production aspect of the song. But when you're saying I started off with the piano, it's you hear the chords first, you hear the instrumental tracks, and it's so easy to be sidetracked by some catchy chord progression, by some catchy instrumental melody. And then I've known a lot of music producers or musicians who just throw everything into the song, neglecting to consider the vocals. And then you add the vocals on top of that, and it's just too much. And it's also remembering to leave room for those vocals. And I love how you expand about that, saying that I do the hardest part for me first, because that's a great way to attack something. It's I'm going to put all of my energy onto the part that's the most difficult for me, so then I can get that done out of the way, and then I can focus on what just comes naturally to me. Do you ever reach out to people who might have strengths that complement your weaknesses, or ask for assistance on certain areas of the songs that you write?
Yeah, the way the band started was that through the songwriters meetup, I met a young fellow there who had a guitar and a ukulele, and he played a couple songs. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then he reached out to me like a year after we met and said, I want to produce an album. And I heard that you're a producer. I'm like, yeah, okay, we can get together and produce an album. He would come over to my humble home studio, a very small home studio, very simple. And we would record his guitar and his vocals. I would supplement his recordings with like, all done on my keyboard through MIDI, drums, bass, sometimes strings, piano, whatever else was needed on there. We took, you know, almost a year, I think, and popped out an album. But during the process, too, he was saying he wants to get out to open mics and start performing these songs. And the other thing, too, is that I really became a fan of the songs. I was like, dude, you write really good songs. And during the production of the album, actually, we ended up co-writing one because he came in with half a song. We jiggled around some lyrics and I liked the idea. It was very creative process that we sat down one afternoon and we like, oh, let's hammer this thing out, and co-wrote one of the songs together. But I told him I'd be happy to back you up on percussion or drums or whatever. And so we started out as a duo, him singing and playing guitar and me just playing on a cajon, which was a little Peruvian box you play on, just tapping out some beats. And I never played one before, but I'm a drummer, so I can figure it out. And so it started from there. I roped in a bass player I know. He roped in a lead guitar player he knows. But when it comes to the song, it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, I'll write a song. Sometimes, before I even begin the songwriting, I'll be like, I have this idea for a song, and it would be perfect for the band. So I'm going to write it for the band. And then I'll write a draft of it, and then I'll take it to the band, and I'll say, what other ideas do you guys have? And you're right when you say that it's different every time, because it is literally different every time. Like, one song I took, and they took it pretty much complete the way that I wrote, was one small change, and that was it. Another song, I had an idea for a chorus, and I'm not a strong singer, but I just sang it into my phone, recorded it on my phone, sent it to my buddy in the band, and I was like, hey, what do you think of this? Here's the idea. Would you like to write this together? Sure, that sounds great. So we got together a short while after, and again, just hammered out the thing together. And the one songwriting session we had during the pandemic, when we got back together after all the shutdowns and everything, we decided just to write a song from scratch and came up with something. So that was pretty cool. It's literally different every time. Our bass player brought in a song, a beautiful ballad love song that he wrote. So it's very much a collaborative effort. And then we get into the band and we're arranging things like guitar parts. You don't want that guitar part to rob the vocal. The vocal's going to be
vocal.
So there's all those sorts of things that end up happening. We're in the midst of another recording project now. I've just fallen into de facto producer role again, which I fully enjoy and really gravitate towards. Let's get everyone in on the tracks and let's get everyone recorded and let's see what we can make of this thing. But then it's all about arranging all the parts together.
Yeah.
Making sure that it comes across really well.
Yes, I'm wondering, where can people find your music, your Song Talk Radio? Is there a website they can visit, or your social media platforms?
Yeah, I do have a website. My own website is Neil Modi, and that's NELMODI, so neilmodi.com. And the website is basically my blog, but I've got links on there to the band, which is called Bay Shelter, to the Song Talk Radio podcast, to my own music. I have one EP that I released a few years ago that's on Spotify and all the rest. And there's a lot of my posts on there about songwriting, some things about home studio production, some things about photography, some things about health or mental health, just whatever sort of strikes my fancy. I throw it up on my blog. So there's a lot of good content there, I think, and some pretty fun stuff. Happy to have anybody visit me and leave a comment or send me a message, anything like that. It'd be great.
No, thank you so much for joining us today. And please do check out Neil Modi's website. I'm sure you can find a lot of informative posts about songwriting and about photography and whatever he posts on there. And thank you so much for joining us today and listening to this podcast episode. If you like this episode and you want more episodes like this, then please do share with a friend or family member. And we enjoyed having you with us. Thank you.